We are live from down south on this Thursday morning, learning live from Ne'uta Kikar, Bedouin tents down south in the Negev. The year 5778, a week before Hanukkah, we are starting Simon Reish Ayin Vav. This is big time to you for Yeshivas Mevaseret Zion. Nothing like Yomi down south. So we're starting the halachos of really Amir Lakum. We had the sugi of Amir Lakum earlier on in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos, but now we're coming to the halachos in a more total vision, dealing with every aspect of the Isser of Amir Lakum. And as an introduction, very important introduction, we have to know and appreciate that Chazal enacted two distinct Isurim pertaining to a non-Jew performing a malacha when a non-Jew performs a malacha for a Jew on Shabbos. Number one, one may not enlist a non-Jew to perform a malacha on Shabbos, period. Cannot go ahead and directly enlist him to go ahead and perform a malacha for you, the Jew, for a Jew on Shabbos. And two, a Jew may not derive benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew performed for a Jew on Shabbos. This is even if the non-Jew did it for the Jew on his own initiative. So that's why, for example, hinting or a non-Jew figuring it out without you enlisting him might avoid the Isser number one in terms of enlisting a non-Jew to perform a malacha on Shabbos. And that's where the hinting and the all that type of shtick to get the non-Jew to do the malacha might help, but it won't help at the end of the day for the second Isser, and that is if the non-Jew did it for you, the Jew, whether or not he did it on his own accord totally, you still cannot benefit from that malacha. So for example, if it is pitch black in a room and the non-Jew totally by himself turns the light on only for you to be able to read, and you would not be able to read at all beforehand, you cannot go ahead and read in that room because you'll be deriving benefit from the malacha. Additionally, in certain situations, a Jew has to go ahead and he has to admonish a non-Jew who is about to perform malacha, or if he has already performed the malacha for the Jew. This is to avoid the impression that the non-Jew did so at the Jew's behest. Now, the halacha of the actual Amir Lakum, although there are deos that hold, in terms of the enlisting the non-Jew, it might be an approach you could hold that this is a Doraisa halacha. Most hold that it's a Drabbanon, and it's a concept of Shlichus, where the non-Jew is doing halacha at the behest of the Jew. And the separate halacha, the second halacha of deriving benefit from the malacha, this is another Rabbanan, as we'll see in Mishnah Berurah, because if one were allowed to derive benefit, one would possibly tell him to kindle the light, to turn the light on, and that we obviously don't want to do. So therefore, Chazal asked benefit from any malacha done for the Jew. Now, I've been very careful to say that this Isser of benefit is only if it was done for the Jew. It was done for the guy himself, then it's going to be okay. So if the guy, even if the Jew will also benefit, if the guy is doing it for himself, because the guy needs the light, then the Jew can go ahead and benefit from the light. We'll see this all inside the halachas. Now, we had learned earlier that there's a distinction in terms of the first Isser, that enlisting a non-Jew to perform a malacha, that Isser is only if you are hiring him to work for you, which is the example, the classic example is a schir yom, where you're hiring him to work for you for the day, to do work for you. And once he is working for you, then he's doing malacha for you, since it's a schir yom, a day worker. But if you hire him for a job, and you don't specifically tell him to work on Shabbos, but it's a job that he has to do in order to get money for the job, so that's what's called a kablan. And as long as you don't tell him that he has to work on Shabbos and he has the ability to do the job outside of Shabbos, then it's okay to hire him. So, for example, if you went ahead and you gave a car to a mechanic, a Goyish mechanic, with enough time before Shabbos and after Shabbos to do the work, so the fact that the non-Jew chooses to do it on Shabbos and he's doing all the work on Shabbos, that's the guy trying to finish up his job and get it done with. That's for the guy, his own benefit, and he's working for himself to be able to get the money by finishing the job. So that's an important halacha, because then lechora, the Jew would be also be able to benefit from a kablon scenario, because since the guy is working for himself, because he's getting paid for the job, and not as a day worker. Because again, remember, in a day worker, what's happening? He's working for you all day, and now he's working on his day for you. So that's for sure usher. And it'll be usher to benefit from, not only usher to tell him to do it, but it'll be usher to benefit from it. But the chayra, when a kavlan, not only should you be able to tell him to go ahead and do a particular job, you should also be able to benefit from that malacha if he chose to do it on Shabbos, because he did it for himself, to make a buck. So here we're going to see something very interesting. We're going to see that not in every situation of kablonus, even though you might be able to normally benefit from a kablon scenario, because the guy is working for himself, here we're going to see a situation where it's not going to help, and the Mishabru is going to explain why this case is different. So here goes, here we begin. Any Yehudi shehidlik es haner b'shvil Yisrael, asu lakol. A non-Jew who lights a ner, puts on a light, kindles a lamp, b'shvil Yisrael, asu lakol. It is asur for anyone to get benefit from that light. Any other Jew. Afilu l'mishalo hidlik b'shvilo. Even for the other Jew, and for some Jew who it was not lit for. So if the guy turned on the light for Reuven, not only can't Reuven read in that room, again, we're talking about where the room was pitch black, and he couldn't read before it, in that room, so not only is Reuven, who the malacha was done for, usher to benefit from the light, but it's usher for even the friend, Shmuel, Shimon, Levi, to go ahead as well, even though the non-Jew did not go ahead and turn on the light for him, but the fact that it was turned on the light, lit for another Jew, it's also for everyone. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Aleph. V'ma din l'chol malacha sheyaseh en yodi b'Shabbos v'shvil Yisrael. The same would apply to any malacha that a non-Jew would perform on Shabbos for a Yid, for a Jew. The asa l'chol l'henos mizeh, it's going to be asa for anyone to derive benefit from it, not only the iser of lighting a light. Ein la'el b'sivin reishin beiz, sif beiz l'inin kablonos. And now he's referring us back to the earlier simanim that we dealt with earlier in the year in Reish and Beis, with respect to, as we just spelled out, kablanis, which read it again, it was spelled out, the halachos, that one is allowed to go ahead, buy a kablan, and hire him for a job, as long as the non-Jew could do it. He doesn't specifically have to do it on Shabbos, it would be okay, and in principle, the Jew should be able to benefit from it, but we're going to see, as I said, in this case, the Jew is not going to be able to benefit, even though it's kablanus. We'll see why soon enough. Also, midrabbanan, it's aser midrabbanan, mishtabrus of cotton bays, to benefit, dimye mutter leanos, because if the Jew could benefit, yom alo lehadlik, he might possibly tell the non-Jew to actually do it for him, and to kindle the lamp, to turn the light on. Now, this is a very, very important introduction that will help us throughout the simon, and that is deriving benefit from a malacha performed by a non-Jew is really only going to be usher if it meets two conditions. And here this is critical. Number one is the malacha that's going to be usher to benefit from has to be one that produces a positive benefit, meaning the malacha creates something, a benefit, that had not existed beforehand. For example, if a non-Jew turns on a light in a dark room, the ability to read by its light is a positive benefit that one did not have before. Or, for example, if a non-Jew cooks raw food, one now has an edible food that did not exist before. Whereas, if a malacha produced no new effect, but all it did was merely it eliminated an impediment, or a disturbance, but that elimination of the impediment or disturbance benefits the Jew only indirectly, then the Jew can take advantage of the malacha. So, for example, the non-Jew extinguishes a fire, turns off a light, in a Jew's home, the Jew can use the items that was, let's say he turned off, let's say he takes out, turns off a fire, it would burn up the house. So the Jew can go ahead and use the items in the house, because all the non-Jew was keep the fire from burning up his stuff. But then in the end, the stuff was there before, and now he could use the stuff. So the non-Jew did a malacha for the Jew, but it didn't create any benefit. Same thing, for example, as I said, if he turns off the light in the house, so you can sleep. He did not create anything, it's just the absence of the light that now enables the Jew to be able to sleep in the room, because the light was disturbing him. The light was bothering him. And it's interesting that contemporary poskim, they discuss whether entering through a door that was opened only with a key that was transported through a Rishus HaRabim. So in order to open up the door, there needed to be a malacha of the key having been carried Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein considers this to be a direct benefit, and he asks it. Roshon Zalman Auerbach. By the way, that was Rav Moshe Aruch Chaim, Chelek Beis, Ayin Zayin, Simon Ayin Zayin. Roshon Zalman in the Michel Shleimai, Aleph Hei, he initially agrees with Rav Moshe, but then, if you check out the Sefer Ma'orah Shabbos, page 472, he retracts it, Roshon Zalman. And he says that he would be able to use the key. Rav Yoshev Zatzal, this is quoted in Sefer Melachim Omnayich, Simon Memches, he paskins that a person could enter a room, for example, that a non-Jew opened with a magnetic card. So you see, it's not so simple determining what's an exactly direct benefit, what's not a direct benefit. We'll discuss more of this at the end of the siman, some more of these halachic, important, bottom line halachic lemaisa shailas. So that's number one. Number one is one criteria that's critical in order for there to be an iser to benefit is that the malacha actually produced some type of positive benefit, not just a removal. And number two is that the benefit provided by the malacha has to be absolute. That means one could not have benefited at all without this malacha. Let's say you would be able to, for example, read without the malacha, but now you just read a little better because it has more light. Maybe all it had was a little small little area that you could read. And now you could read better, so even though you're benefiting from the light, because now you're reading better, and it's easier for you to read, you will be able to then read in the room after the non-Jew turns the light on for you, because it was not, the benefit was not absolute. That which was provided from the malacha, that benefit was not absolute. Okay, we'll see more about this when we get to Siman Dalet. Now, it's important to note that even though these might be heterim to benefit, if the non-Jew only removes an impediment or provides only marginal benefit, bottom line is to go ahead and actively instruct a non-Jew to perform such a malacha that will remove an impediment or provide only marginal benefit will still be usur. We just described here that second isur of benefiting. That's where there are kulas. But you never can go ahead and instruct a non-Jew to do malacha for you, period, whether you benefited from it or not, because he's doing malacha for you. So even if you're going to marginally benefit, it will still be usur. If you're going to only marginally benefit, or it's going to just stop and remove an impediment, it's going to still be usur to actively to enlist the non-Jew to do it for you. The terem might come in to hinting, for example, you might be able to hint to a non-Jew to turn off the light because you want to sleep. But that would have to be, like I said, with hinting, because you can't instruct him to go ahead and turn off the light. You can't instruct the non-Jew to do that. Now, let's now look at Sif Katan Gimel. So he says here, this is not comparable to a case where a person who receives a delivery from beyond the Tchum on Shabbos, where there it's permitted for a different person for whom the non-Jew did not bring the letter or the item to derive benefit from it. As we're going to see coming up, as he says, we could look on the Siman Shin Chaf Hei Sif Chet.
Why? It's Chumen Derabanan. Because Chumen is Derabanan. V'chein kol is Derabanan. Sha'asa ena Yehudi b'shvil Yisrael. And therefore, so too, all Yisrael Derabanan that a non-Jew did for a Jew, a particular Jew on Shabbos, it's mutter la'acher. It's going to be permissible to a different Jew, shelo nase b'shvilo, who the malacha was not done for. So unlike in our case, where we're dealing with a malacha del reisa, where someone goes ahead and puts on a light for a particular Jew, for Reuven, and it was a totally dark room in which Reuven would not be able to read in because it was totally dark before, and now he's not allowed to go ahead and read in that room on Shabbos, benefiting from the light. Not only Reuven can't go ahead and benefit from the light, but even Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, because that's a malacha da'oraisa. Anytime a malacha da'oraisa was done for a yid, for a Jew, any other Jew cannot go ahead and benefit from it. Unlike when it's a Rabbanan, then the one who the malacha was done for cannot benefit from it, but others can. The Ramah now continues. Ve'ein chiluk haga, ve'ein chiluk b'zeh, ben katzav lo sachar o lo katzav. Ramah says that in this situation, it makes no difference whether the Jew fixes a wage for him or does not fix it. I mean, it doesn't make a difference whether the Jew sets up an amount that he's going to give the non-Jew. And he goes on, osha asu bekablonus obeschiris, or whether it was done and he was hired for the job or he was hired as a day worker. Doesn't make a difference. The whole of Yisrael nena mi malacha atzma b'Shabbos, since the Yisrael is being nene from the malacha on Shabbos, asur b'chol inyan, it's going to be asur for the Jew to benefit no matter what. So this needs explanation. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. First, sifka andala bein katzav, hainu me'erev Shabbos. This means that it's going to be asur to benefit even if it was a set amount that was set up for the non-Jew from Erev Shabbos. The kamash malan delo lo aminam binyanenu. We do not say in our situation here that an Eini Yehudi abegged the Nafshei Avid. We don't say that a non-Jew went ahead and was working for himself in order to get the payment that was set up for him, for the job. We could lay the simulation base of Bezlin Kablonis, like we say earlier, with respect to when you hire someone, the Kablonis, for a job and you set payment for it, and in such a case, and a non-Jew goes ahead and works on Shabbos, then in such a case we say that it's okay because the non-Jew was hired for the job, and it was hired for the job before Shabbos, and he's not getting paid as a day worker, so we say that he's working for himself and not for the Jew. In this situation, we do not say that, and we're going to explain the distinction very soon. But let's look at Sif Katan Hey, Osha Aso, V'chulei. The Rama said, or he was set up as a kablan or a sachir, a schirus, schir yom. So he says, who perish l'mashama mitchila? What the Rama is doing, he's going on to explain what he said earlier. Bein katzav, even if there's a set payment. Al zeh omar, bein shakitzva. On this he says, whether the set payment, ha'isa b'kablanus or b'schirus, whether it was a set payment for the job or as a schir yom, where he's being paid by the day. And he's explained it himself. A kablanus maker, what's a kablanus? Hechash eschar ustam, he was hired, stam straight up, lahadlik for the job, lahadlik no ner, to put on a light for him, be'eshet tarach, whenever he needs it. Ve'katzav lo mikol hadlaka dabar katzuv. And he sets up a set amount for every time, all the times, that he will light. Meaning, he's not paying him for a particular lighting, for one lighting that's being done on Shabbos. He's paying him, in general, to be the one to turn on the lights for him at all times, whether it's during the week, whether it's on Shabbos. So that's paying him for the job. When you give him a certain amount each day for the work for the day. So obviously, when you're hiring him to work for the day, that's a schir yom. So even if it's a set payment, but you're hiring him for the day, that's clearly the non-Jew is working for the Jew, and it would be us at a benefit. But what the Ramah is saying, and the Mishnah Berurah is spelling it out, that even if there was a hiring for the job, where we ordinarily say that the Jew can not only hire a non-Jew before Shabbos for the job. For example, you could hire a non-Jew to go ahead and before Shabbos fix your car. And even if he fixes the car on Shabbos, it's totally not a problem, as long as there was time for the non-Jew to do it before Shabbos and after Shabbos. If the non-Jew finishing it on Shabbos is up to him, and he wants to go ahead and work on Shabbos, that's for him, his own benefit, a day to nafshei of it. He's doing it so he can finish the job and get paid. But for some reason here, we don't say that. And we don't say that the Jew can benefit, even if he was hired for the job, as a job, to be the one to always turn on the lights for him. So the Halacha here, and also earlier in Mishnah Days, elaborates on this and explains here in the Halacha. He says that although having an arrangement with a kabbalah in place generally serves to permit deriving benefit from the malacha performed by the non-Jew, this arrangement is ineffective with regard to having a non-Jew light turn on a light for a Jew on Shabbos. And the Bar Halacha clarifies, and he says, here the difference is that it is absolutely prohibited to provide benefit from the lamp for the following reason. He says, since the Jew is deriving direct benefit on Shabbos itself, from the Kabbalah, okay, and the Mishnah Berurah and the Bar Halacha back in Mishnah Beis Sif Dalid goes ahead and he also points out that here the non-Jew lit the lamp in order for the Jew to derive benefit from it on Shabbos itself. The non-Jew is viewed as doing the malacha on Shabbos for the Jew, even though he was technically hired as a kabbalah. As opposed to, for example, when a non-Jew delivers a letter, the Gemara says, if he was hired as a kabbalah to deliver the letter, the Gemara says that as long as the Jew set payment for the non-Jew for the job, it's permitted to benefit from the letter. You can read the letter. In fact, there's a Ran that the Shulchan Aruch holds like, and the Ramah says you can rely on, at least in case of necessity. For example, the Ramah says in case of necessity, you can rely on the opinion that you can wear a garment that a non-Jew laundered on Shabbos. Right? Because there, if he was hired as a kabbalah and the non-Jew laundered it on Shabbos, the lamp wasn't, it's not like the lamp that was lit in order for the Jew to derive benefit from on Shabbos itself. He did it for the Jew to go ahead and have clean clothes. And he was hired for the job. He happened to do it on Shabbos. And the Jew now is benefiting from it. But in that case, the guy was working for himself because he was hired as a kabbalah. So that's the distinction that's made. And therefore, in this case, even if he was hired for the job to be a light turner-oner, and he wasn't paid as a day worker, okay, it's not going to be okay because, number one, the Jew is deriving direct benefit on Shabbos itself, and even though he's a kabbalah, this non-Jew, he's doing it for the Jew to benefit from the melacha on Shabbos itself. Let's continue on. Aval, back to the Shulchan Aruch. Aval, im hidligo letzarko, o letzarko les Yisrael, afilu ein bo sakana. He goes and he says now, if the non-Jew, however, lit it for his own needs, or for the sake of a chole she'ein bo sakana, who's a real chole, and there's a heter to tell a Jew, a non-Jew. There's a heter to tell a non-Jew to go ahead and turn on a light for a chole she'ein bo sakana. Chole she'ein bo sakana is someone who cannot get out of bed or has a high fever. So in those cases where the non-Jew is lighting it, where either he's doing it for his own needs, the non-Jew, so he's not doing it for a Jew, or even if he's doing it for a Jew, it's beheter, because it's a chol shemo sakana. The Ramah adds, o letzorech ketanim, or if he did it for little kids, to who kechol shemo sakana, which is the equivalent of a chol shemo sakana, we'll explain why. Then it's mutter lechol Yisrael, l'shtamish la'oro. Then all Yisraelim, all Jews can go ahead and benefit from this light, because it was done either for the non-Jew himself, he had his own need and desire to turn on the light, and that's why he turned it on, or it was done for a Jew, but beheter. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Oh, she'aso. Ketanim, haynu, im srichim harbe. We're talking about ketanim, that if they have a great need for light. However, otherwise, aval b'lav achilo. But otherwise, one may not have a non-Jew light for a ketanim. Ketanim is not automatically like a cholesh ebo sakana. So I'm talking about a case where there was a great need for the light. The interesting is, there's a ketzais ha-shulchan that states that it's not limited to the child's necessities. You could actually instruct a non-Jew to light a lamp so that a child will not be scared of the dark. And he actually adds that this might apply even to 7 or 8 year old children. the Yichud Shani, a missing Karlitz, says that this is only mutter if one is unable to distract the children or calm them in some other way. So again, these are the scenarios where it is permissible for the non-Jew to actually turn the light on. So in all those cases, any Jew could benefit. Sifkat and Zayin, L'chol Yisrael. Why? Lo Shayach Kan Gzeira Shema Yomar Lo Lahavlik Bishvil Chola. Because here, there's no concern. Why is there no concern? Because what's the concern? That you're going to go ahead and if you benefit from it, you might go ahead and tell them to light again for a chola. You're allowed to go ahead and tell the non-Jew to put on a light for a chola shem b'sakana. So in all these scenarios, it's okay because the iser of benefit is an iser that we don't want you to benefit from a lacha done for a Jew, because if you benefit from a lacha done for a Jew, then we're concerned that you might go ahead and direct a non-Jew to actually go ahead and light for you on Shabbos. And there's no concern if either the non-Jew lit for himself, or if he lit in a permissible way, that you'd be able to go ahead and l'chadchila tell him to light in the first place. We then move on. Sifkatan ches. Any Jew can go ahead and benefit from the light. Afilu hu makiro, even if he recognizes the Jew. We're not concerned that maybe he's going to go ahead and add more light for the Jew. Why? Because turning on a light to see one ner is as good for one person as it is for 100 people. And in all this, there's no difference between the Ma'ini Yudi Hidlika Ner Bebeso. Doesn't make a difference if the non-Jew lit the Ner in his own home, or Bebeis Yisrael, or in the home of a Yisrael. Either way, you'll be able to go ahead and benefit from it if the non-Jew put it on for himself or for someone that he was permitted to put it on for in the first place. We can then continue on. V'hu adin la'osa medura l'tzarko o l'tzarechola. He then goes on to Shulchan Aruch and he says, the same applies if he made a bonfire for his own needs or for the sake of a chola. However, the Shulchan Aruch continues, V'yesh osrim b'madura. But there are others that aser in the madura, by a madura, to benefit from the bonfire, the heat from the bonfire. Because his other opinion holds, we're concerned that he might add more fuel to the fire for the Jew. And therefore, if a non-Jew, according to this opinion, turns on a madura for himself or for a chola, this opinion holds another Jew cannot go to that bonfire because we're concerned that maybe the non-Jew who knows the Yisrael might go ahead and add to the light, add more wood to the fire. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Sifkat on ches lishtameish la'oro. Sorry. Sifkat on tes litzarko. The mutter, so the first opinion allows it even by a madura, who allows another Jew to go ahead, any Jew to go ahead and benefit from the heat of the bonfire, because it was lit the bonfire for the non-Jew himself or for some chola. He holds the mutter l'chol Yisrael l'schamim afilu hu makiro. This opinion holds that all Yisraelim can go ahead and warm themselves up by this fire, even if the non-Jew recognizes him. Why? Because he holds it, a small madura, a small bonfire, also will warm up a lot of people. And it's like a ner. One ner, with respect to going ahead and seeing light, is the same for one person as it is for 100 people. We're not concerned he's going to add more fuel. No. When it comes to madura, it's different than adding more oil to a candle. Here, we're concerned that he's going to add more firewood. We don't dumb them there. We shouldn't do the fee rebuild and ushim, because when it comes to a bonfire, based on more people, shemesub and etzalam adur, they're eating, let's say, next to a bonfire because to keep you warm. Tzarech lahusif ulag deal hamadura. You have to go ahead and, based on the amount of people there, you have to go ahead and make the madura, make the bonfire even bigger. And if a non-Jew turns on an oven for his own needs, okay, which in those days they used to have these big ovens that would warm up a home. It was called a beis ha'achoref. Kuli alma modi to Rashi Yisrael kanes beis ha'achoref. Everyone holds that all Yisrael would be able to go warm up in these winter rooms that they would warm up by this tanur. Why? Because once again, chimum la'echad, chimum la'meya. warming up in a person being warm in a room, they're not going to add for more people more fuel. So there, in such a tanur, we're not concerned that more wood would be added to this winter stove that would warm up the winter room. Okay, warm up the room in the winter. The chimu mecha, chimu lemeya, v'havi kamo ner, and there everyone holds it's like a ner. The shari for other Yisraelim to go ahead and benefit. So again, what's happening here is as follows: that when a non-Jew does malacha for himself, or he does malacha in a permissible way, let's say for a cholish embo sakana, or for a katana in certain scenarios, in principle, other Jews, any Jew, would be able to benefit from that. The only proviso is that there's no concern that the non-Jew will go ahead and add fuel for the Jew if the Jew goes ahead and benefits from it. And that, although there's no machlokas with respect to a ner or the oven of a stove of a base choref, the heater in a base choref, there is a machlokas with respect to a bonfire, whether there's a concern of shema yarbe bishvi lo. And that's sifkat on yud. Mishabur here says that if you know that the non-Jew does not recognize you, he doesn't know who you are, that's going to be permissible according to all, the Kuleyama.